everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. I'm not going to begin today with health and nutrition because I didn't complete everything looking at the larger issues that we are not facing or facing in a very biased manner. Instead, just a few moments ago, I did a very long health and nutrition and posted it directly to Gary Nall YouTube, Rumble, Gary Nall Films, Odyssey. So there's plenty of places for you to see it and listen to it. Instead, I want to go to the bigger picture. Why? Because in my lifetime, I've never seen as many crises occurring and as little being done to address them in a proper manner. Everyone says they have a thought on something. Legislators say that they're appropriating money, but then nothing gets built, nothing gets done. Just think of it this way. If you are a person, a working class person, and you look at your life, you look at your bills, you look at your savings, you look at your health, you look at the environment you're in, is it safer today than 20 years ago, 40 years ago? Are you happier today? Are you healthy today? Do you feel that you live in a society that respects who you are as an individual, irrespective of your ethnicity or your culture? Just as a human being, do you respect others for being human beings? Or do you only respect those that you associate with, someone who has something in common with you? Have you been caught into the identity politics, the cancel culture, the all of the new ways that we're supposed to be believing, changing all reality throughout all history, changing scientific reality into myth? Do you trust the banking system, the educational system, the food system, the media system, the government system, our monetary system? Do you trust them? Have they honored you? Have people done right by you? I believe the answer in almost every situation is, unless you're very rich, the answer is no. So I'm seeing, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I have the studies, I've done the homework, I'm seeing a society that's at loggerheads. We have those who are in a position of affluence and power, celebrity, and they are deferred to. They're given all the opportunity to make all of our decisions for us. Most were not elected. They're opinion leaders. On the other hand, we have just the average person who now must succumb. They must obey. They must allow 24-hour surveillance. You do know that that little apparatus that you ask questions of, it's monitoring and recording everything you say and do, both filming it as well as your computer, your televisions, everything, every second of every day. All the cars now have cameras in them, and they can record you. It's all perfectly legal, but the government was spying on you, and it was illegal under Obama. He hid it. Was anyone held accountable at any of the spy agency? The National Security Agency was breaking. That's just a conspiracy theory. Then it came out that they were inspecting every single one of the senators' laptops or computers, downloading their information. That's a really bad law they broke. Not a single person was held accountable. So when you look at all the crimes and misdemeanors, not only domestically but in foreign engagements, has anybody ever been held accountable? Today there's a story out about how many people are suffering from birth defects in Iraq 20 years after we invaded. So what is the consequence? I remember when I filmed the Gulf War Syndrome, Killing Our Own, and one of my consultants in that was Dr. Doug Rocky. Dr. Rocky worked for the Pentagon. He was sent to Iraq to measure with a team depleted uranium, which is in all of our shells, all of our weapons. And it's not depleted in the sense that there's no radiation. It's just lower radiation than what was normally there, but enough to kill you, poison you. And he saw that it was doing a devastating impact upon the citizens and soldiers as well, especially those in tanks or those who had their weapons on them all the time. And he himself would end up getting cancer and ultimately die from that. But I gave him a program on Progressive Radio Network so all the veterans at least would have a voice. A woman named Nichols was on a regular basis to help the vets, because the vets didn't have anyone in the media could actually talk for them about the policies that led to their circumstance. In fact, I'm sure you've all seen this. You've seen the commercials for the veterans who have injuries, and there's a foundation that buys them homes, builds and reconstructs homes so it meets their needs, right? Well, that's what we're not getting today. We're not getting, if you put a person in the armed services and you train them and they come out damaged for life, do you have any responsibility for them? The Defense Department says no. VA, no. They'll help them. But what about helping them with their home? They can't work. You'll take care of them maybe from medical conditions, but only if it's shown and proven, which is a very difficult situation for a lot of them, because a lot of them suffering from post-traumatic stress and they're not helped. And injuries not related to battlefield and they're not helped. Gulf Force Syndrome, none of them were helped. We helped them. Tri-State Healing Center, my medical staff, we treated them all for free and we got them back their life. Most of them were able to return to full health, but we recognized they were suffering from the effects of chemical and biological agents in their body. We filmed this. We have the records of it. And yet the Defense Department never did anything for a single person. No, it doesn't exist. Just like vaccine injury. No, it doesn't exist. But it does. At what point do we, the public, allow ourselves even 1% doubt about the certainty of what we believe? And that's why I'm doing this series, to show you in every part of our life, our beliefs have been conditioned by ongoing, constant, ceaseless propaganda. So we believe the propaganda because it has been so reinforced so often and frequently by celebrities. If we like the celebrity, then suddenly we're more apt to trust the beer they drink, the underwear they wear. What does that have to do with their sport? Nothing. But we are a cult of celebrity in our society. So I'm just giving you this as an overview of why we must start to question everything. Now, I'm going to give you something on medicine and health to begin, to take the place of my normal nutrition update. We're going to go to clip now, and this is important. This is from a mainstream, traditionally trained doctor. This is from a person that says, quote, the medical system is a complete scam. All right? It's only 3 minutes and 30 seconds long. It's clip number 4. And you're going to hear it now. And I'll tell you why this is so important, because what I'm doing now, each day, I'm showing you a problem that's either being addressed correctly or incorrectly or not addressed at all. And then what the real solution is. So you have a problem and solution. And I emphasize the solution, as I did yesterday, showing you how nanokinase from a fermented soybean that the Japanese use can help block the blood clots that are occurring in unknown a number of people. But almost all the people we see dying now are dying from these blood clots. Let's go to the clip, please.
Hi everyone, Dr. Sunil Dand. Welcome to another video. I believe that huge swathes of our medical system are a complete and utter scam. And I do not use that word lightly. And I want to share with you a very recent story, only from last week, that highlights this point. But before we get started, I want to share with you another secret. I've been in the United States for over 10 years. Thankfully, I have good health insurance, but I do everything possible to avoid any interaction whatsoever with the medical system. I'm not registered with a primary care doctor, and I have no interest in seeing dentists, optometrists, or other allied professionals based on my own experiences, which I will share with you shortly. Now, a lot of people might say to me, Dr. Dand, you don't think much of the medical system. You think huge swathes of it are corrupted. You think that huge swathes of it are a complete scam. What are you doing working in the medical system? Well, that's a fair enough question, and I would answer it like this. Outside of my practice of lifestyle and health coaching, which is extremely rewarding, I do acute hospital work. And despite everything bad I say about the medical system, because there are so many negative aspects of the medical system in the United States, one thing that the United States is very good at, actually phenomenal at, is acute care. I also work in emergency rooms, but whether people come into hospital with a heart attack, a stroke, sepsis, a condition needing ICU admission, one thing that we do really, really well is we give attention to emergencies at a very high level, very fast. And I often say that I would rather be a homeless person in the United States with an acute medical emergency than a rich person in almost any other country. Obviously, it does come at a cost, but I'm telling you, as somebody who has worked and lived in different countries, the speed of getting care when you have an emergency in the United States is at an extremely high level. And as for any relative of mine, if they ever needed acute care for a serious emergency, I would want them in the United States. I wouldn't want them anywhere else. I wouldn't want them in England or any other Western country. And I really do mean that. Before we get started on everything I'm about to say, I'm very proud to practice acute care hospital medicine, which I think we do really well. However, chronic problems are a whole different matter. Dealing with routine issues, outpatient appointments, etc., we are terrible at that, predominantly because we have a sick care system that doesn't focus on real health and wellness. As for my own personal health, I've never registered with a primary care doctor in the United States. Touch wood, or knock on wood, as you say in the United States, I have good metabolic health and I do my own lab work and I monitor myself. Obviously, I have that knowledge and I'm medically trained, but I appreciate the fact that most people are not in that position. They need doctors for whatever reason. So I want to share with you then my own story.
Okay, that's a longer interview. But he's just a regular mainstream board-certified medical doctor who is telling the truth. And you might think, so what? But listen what he said. How many times have you heard me say, we have the best acute medical care in the world? If you're in a car accident, if you have a heart attack or stroke, if you sever a limb, if you need an organ transplant, we do it better than anyone. And I commend that. I respect that. On the other hand, that represents anywhere from 8 to 10% in any given year. That means that around 88 to 90% of all other medicine is chronic care, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, pain, arthritis, depression, anxiety, and we fail miserably. So here is the problem. The problem is that we're not honest about our failures and we rely solely upon our successes or strengths. So no one ever sees the dark side of medicine. And yet for those brave physicians, historically, I've known most of them, I've met most of them, I've interviewed them. They have been the exception, the rare exception. Of 900,000, more or less, physicians in the United States today, under 1% or less, practice what we call alternative or complementary medicine. I interviewed a physician yesterday to see if they would be good for helping Eutrice Lead with her conditions. She has 7 separate conditions. And 6 of those 7 conditions could cause her death at any given moment. And when this was presented to me about 8 weeks ago, we immediately started calling oncologists, pulmonologists, but they were all booked. No one had time to see her at that time. One physician who I knew and who had come to a house opening I had 25 years ago, nice guy, and who believes that we should use the best of alternative and orthodox, he said that he would help. And then another physician is an internal medicine physician to do the test. And we've gotten all these blood chemistries and MRIs done now. And the good news is, as of this morning, Eutrice Leed has lost. And by the way, if you don't know who she is, for 43 years, she's been a very important voice within the African-American community. And she's an innovator. She's an outstanding broadcaster. And you wouldn't know her politics, except she's a compassionate person. She cares about people. And that's what she advocates, and giving them a voice on her show. That's why it's so popular. She was on BAI for 20 years. Now she's on 23 years. Now she's on PRN for the last 17 years. In any case, she was, and I'm telling you what she gave me permission to say on her own show. I asked, do I have permission to discuss this with the public? She said, of course. She came at 277 pounds, and in any given second, you can die of a heart attack or stroke. That's not obese, that's morbidly obese, and you really die soon. You don't live a long life, and you don't live a happy life, and you're in pain nonstop, and the heart is having to pump so hard. The pump, the heart, and the pump that it is doesn't grow in proportion to your weight gain, yet it still has to pump blood out, and therefore a lot of pressure, hence high blood pressure. How high? It is over 200 on both diastolic and systolic. On three medications, it couldn't control it. Her diabetes, two medications, couldn't control it. Her pain couldn't be controlled. And her lung cancer, kidney failures, both kidneys failing, liver comp problems, and all these other conditions, and tachycardia, AFib, you name it, she had it all. Diabetes. So any one of those will kill you. Nine medications. And yet when I had a conversation with her physician says, well, we're doing all that we can. And I said, but many of the medications you're giving her are going to have iatrogenic, meaning deadly, side effects. Well, what can you do? I said, well, first you can read the physician's desk reference, and it shows that first your acute kidney failure with two of the medications she's on. So you would give her another and another and another. So we had this discussion about iatrogenesis. What do we see now? Why do most people die in acute care? From the treatment, not just the disease. And that's something we're not willing to acknowledge. It's called iatrogenesis. I wrote a book on it. Five scientists, research scientists, including three physicians, worked with me on the book for 5 years, using only orthodox medicine statistics, showing that it fails miserably. It's the number one cause of death and injury in the United States. Well, anything is causing, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of deaths per year. Maybe you would think there would be a meeting or two. Killing an awful lot of people. Every year, we're killing more Americans than died in the First World War. And we were only in that war a matter of months. Mind you, we went in 1918 and the war ended in 1918. And in fact, we're killing more each year than American soldiers who died in the Second World War and the Vietnam War combined. That's perspective. That's context. Hold on a second. You mean two wars that lasted a total of 15 years between the Second World War and the Vietnam War, and we kill more Americans each year? Yeah, medicine does. And yet we regale medicine. It's almost like a sacred approach to it. It's a cult, a religious cult. No, it's a medical cult. And why don't they change? Why don't all these... Well, maybe because of their conditioning and propaganda and they're not given any of the information about alternative approaches and prevention. Maybe they're actually told those are bad and to condemn them, call them quackery, and that's exactly what's happened. Let me give you an example of that. What if I told you that virtually everything you heard about COVID was a lie, but it was intended to be lies? Quote from Dr. Michael Nevardaskis from the Children's Health Defense today. The COVID-19 lie machine, Stanford University project, colluded with the federal government, social media, to censor, quote, misinformation. Quote, a project run by Stanford University served as a dry run for President Biden's, quote, disinformation board, according to journalist Matt Taibbi's latest Twitter files released, which he dubbed, quote, the great COVID-19 lie machine. Stanford, the virology project, and the censorship of true stories. According to Matt Taibbi, the Virality Project, an initiative of the Stanford Internet Observatory, called for this creation of a disinformation board just one day before Biden announced plans to launch his government's run disinformation governance board. Taibbi discussed the two main takeaways from his March 17th, quote, Twitter files release during America's This Week podcast. Stanford, with the backing of a number of partners and some government agencies, had created a cross-platform single digital ticketing system that was processing censorship requests for all of them: Facebook, Google, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, Medium, and Twitter, end quote. Also, Taibbi said the Virality Project, quote, defining true things as disinformation or misinformation or malformation, end quote, which he says signifies, quote, a new evolution of the disinformation process away from trying to figure out what's true and what's not and just going directly to political narrative, end quote. And by the way, I want to commend Michael Schellenberger, who contributed to the Twitter files releases. He testified before the House Select Committee on the weaponization of the federal government, and it revealed also, similar to what Taibbi did, that federal agencies, corporations, and the media all work together to create lies. So if someone came forward with the truth, and there were doctors, many doctors, tens of thousands of scientists and doctors who signed the Great Barrington Declaration, ironically because one of the leading epidemiologists, medical directors, and a professor of medical science at Stanford was one of the three. The other was from Harvard, and the other was from Oxford University. And they showed that the lockdowns weren't working. They were actually harming people, and they were correct. I signed that declaration, knowing that everyone who signed it would now be a target. So what did they do? They went after the signers, and then they went after the creators. The whole federal government and its agencies involved had to create one lie that the media then would share to the public, so nobody would trust true information. Now, mind you, this is Orwellian. So truth became a lie, and the lie became a truth. So what you did in getting lining up, give me my vaccine because I'm a good citizen, I want to protect other people, and we were told that the science shows that taking the vaccine will prevent us from being infected, infecting other people, it was all lies. Everything you were told was a lie. That's the proof. Now, here's the question. Can you handle the truth? And I'm not Jack Nicholson and in that movie with Tom Cruise and Demi Moore. I'm just saying, we as a society are conditioned to believe those we trust, whether it's our minister, a priest, a rabbi, imam. Why can't we trust ourselves in our own capacity to engage in critical thinking and critical analysis? Because we have been told we're not smart enough. We are the unwashed masses. We do not deserve a break. The judicial system for years targeted African Americans for the same crime, having possession of a drug, as a Caucasian, and the Caucasian got the break. The African American did not. We have a system that worked for those in power, but it wasn't about race. It was about culture. You see, we've made the mistake. You hear everyone saying race, race, race about everything today. First of all, that denigrates the real purpose and meaning of what it means to call out a racist. And there are racists, but it doesn't mean our society is racist. And it sure as hell doesn't mean that you're born a racist. That's the most insane, illogical, unscientific, and completely moronic concept, and yet it's taken hold. Millions, if not hundreds of millions of people worldwide believe that. It's stupid, but people believe it. Why? Because disinformation has replaced true information. Control of what you see and read and hear has eliminated your freedom to question. Even to question, to raise a question, is to make you now susceptible of being the other. And how do we hurt people? We make them unlike us. They're just the other. They're just those, and then fill in the pejorative. You know, remember what we called the Vietnamese? So you could kill them. Who cared? They weren't like you. So you see, this is about how they have weaponized the concept of differentiation. And now we've got proof of it. Now here's the question. Now that this has been exposed, now that no longer can any of these dancing clowns and these absolute rabid broadcasters who just propagandized as if somehow they were given a script from Joseph Goebbels and said, say this on the air, and they say it with complete sincerity. But it's not true. But how would anyone listening or watching know it wasn't true? They wouldn't if you were a true believer. And most people have been true believers. How many people who are in unions, and I'm a union supporter, was in unions, how many people challenged the leadership, challenged Jimmy Hoffa's, challenged the teachers' union, that are utterly and completely engaged in policies and programs that they shouldn't be? But you're not one of those policymakers, so just go along. How many doctors knew that if they treated a patient early with chondroitin sulfate, with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, D3, and zinc, they could save their lives and help them overcome their symptoms in a matter of hours or a day or two at the most? But they were warned by the state medical boards, purely political operation. You do this, you lose your license. And indeed, Dr. Jensen and others are going after the license. And what was your crime? They save people's lives. But the disinformation agencies and almost all agencies of government in the state are disinformation. I'm just sharing this with you because I'm showing you that you were lied to. I'm showing you the proof you were lied to. It is not opinion. It is absolute 100% set in stone truth that you were lied to about everything concerning COVID. And I just shared it with you. Doubt me? Go to the text and read it for yourself. Go to the congressional hearing under oath and read what was shared with them. And they couldn't rebut it. So what did they do? The Democrats on there attacked their character. Oh, you mean you're a so-called journalist? No, one of the most respected and awarded journalists in American history, Matt Taibbi. No, he's a real journalist, not the jerks you find over at the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN. And yet, disinformation was planned. Now we know they planned it. Stanford, they actually had this. So what if that would have succeeded and Matt Taibbi didn't have the details? Then we would still be living with all lies. And if you doubted it, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Just sharing that with you. So what do we do? What's the good news? Okay, here's some good news and solutions. For those of you who read the articles, three, at the very beginning of this crisis over 3 years ago, what were the articles? They're still there. They're on GaryNall.com. Just go there and download them. What to do to build up your immune system that is natural, and all the natural ingredients were from the National Library of Medicine, Orthodox, sciencely supported it. what to do for SARS viruses that were antiviral and proved in laboratory clinical studies. National Library, the Library of Medicine, peer-reviewed articles on antiviral such as Astragalus, Apodiarco on bacteria, etc. We put all those in there. So if people followed how to build up your immune system naturally, they would have been less susceptible to being infected or dying. Secondly, if they were infected, they now had antiviral that they could use. We broadcast the first program on vitamin C drips, 24,000 milligrams, given at the Wuhan Hospital. In two studies, all their patients survived quickly. Now, that was well known. Did anyone in the United States in the media say, you know something? In Wuhan, they had two separate studies where patients were given 24,000 milligrams of intravenous vitamin C per day, and they survived. They overcame the virus quickly. Not a one. How about the American scientific community? Not a one. No one. Interesting, because when I was questioning this doctor yesterday, who sees a lot of patients, and I asked him, how many patients you see a day? About 150. 150 patients a day? How much? Well, then how many hours a day are you working? 8 hours? 10 hours? Because you're seeing somewhere between 15 to 20 patients an hour. So how much time are you giving per patient? Well, you know, we've got these assistants, and they, you know, I just have to go in and do some work on them, and it's for pain management. It's pretty much all the same. That's chronic care, and it fails. When asked, do you ever discuss the underlying cause of the condition? How did this person get this pain to begin with? No. It's the symptoms they're dealing with. And that's the danger. And that's the limitation of chronic care. They start with the symptoms instead of the cause. And they spend no time on it. And they don't look for any other thing except what's going to be reimbursed by insurance. So this person's making millions and millions of dollars a year for giving people something that will block the pain but does not eliminate it and does not reverse it. Wouldn't it make sense to spend quality time with a person? And if you had universal health care, you could do that. But we're not evolved enough to accept that we deserve universal health care. We're lied to that, you know, we're getting the best health care, we're getting the worst health care, and every study shows that in the developed world. So why not do something good, like building up your immune system by eliminating what causes inflammation? Because if you're going to get an inflammation in the lungs by being infected by any virus or pneumonia or something from a influenza, wouldn't you like to have a strong immune system and strong lungs? You can. Get off the dairy. Get rid of the mucus. Get off the allergies. Go to a healthy plant-based varied diet. Take vitamin C and quercetin B complex and acetylcysteine, all of which are important for your lungs. But we're not doing that. That's the solution. We're all going to face all kinds of crisis. It's how good we are and how prepared we are when we face it, how we overcome it. But if we listen to the disinformation, and it's intentional disinformation from Stanford University, then given to all the social media, then you should never again trust anyone. You should never trust Mark Schmuckenberg over at Facebook or the owners of Google. All right? You shouldn't trust any of them, and especially never trust Wikipedia. But we continue to go to these same sources, and we shouldn't. I'm just giving that as an example. But I'm going to wonder, how is it that all this bad stuff was happening at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, all these grants given out to people who went along with Fauci, all came from nature, and they got tens of millions of dollars collectively. How did that happen? Did anyone ask Fauci's wife? Why should that be important? There's a current article out today by Adam Andrazikwia, quote, how Fauci's wife used the National Institute of Health role of chief ethicist to bolster her husband's pandemic policy. Quote, It's the Washington, D.C. power couple that cost taxpayers $1 million a year, while Anthony Fauci gave the nation its pandemic public policy prescriptions. His wife, Christine Grady, the chief bioethicist at Fauci's employer, the National Institutes of Health, provided the moral framework. Ah, I see. So the chief ethicist, who's supposed to be looking over the ethics, should we be funding gain-of-function research? What if that gain-of-function research is done in a laboratory that could also turn it into a weaponization product, like the Chinese government? Oh, we were funding dozens of their studies without oversight. I say, well, that would create an ethical problem. Why do we have over 23 different biological labs in Ukraine? We shouldn't have those there. Unstable country? No. Corrupt country? That's an ethical problem. Shouldn't that have been her concern? Not once was her name ever mentioned in any of the context of overseeing her own husband. That's a gross conflict of interest. But now we know it. We can also, when I mentioned earlier, this is from Washington, D.C., this morning, quote, Iraqis suffering from disastrous medical diseases caused by U.S.-led invasion. The U.S.-led invasion of Iraq has resulted in a dramatic rise in birth defects in the country, a problem that will remain Iraq forever. This is according to Dr. Helen Collicott. On March 19, 2003, at 10:16 p.m., President George Bush, in a televised address from the Oval Office, said the U.S. coalition forces were in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq and, quote, free its people, marking the start of an invasion and occupation that led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of civilians and combatants. The shock and awe war crime initiated by George Bush and his co-workers were both a nuclear and conventional war, irradiating disastrous medical diseases and congenital abnormalities, which will haunt the people of Iraq forever, so says Helen Collicott. She emphasized the United States had deployed missiles armed with uranium-238, resulting in microscopic particles polluting the air and surrounding soil, quote, to be spread by the wind for the rest of time. 1,700 tons of depleted uranium in Iraq during just the 2003 invasion. Now, if you remember, there were over 1,000 of you. Michael Moore was there, several celebrities were there, for the premiere of that Gulf War documentary I did down on 42nd Street at the largest theater I could find in New York at the time, the AMC Theater. And if you notice at the end, I had a postscript where I showed that over 5,000 photographs of defective babies from just one hospital in Iraq, where the doctor said we encourage people not to get pregnant because the depleted uranium in the soil, in the water, in the air, because every bullet that is shot, every bomb that is blasted, sends billions of microparticles of dust of uranium into the air and soil and water forever. And they were saying, could you get these out of the country because we can't send them out. They're blocked. So we got them out through Norway and back in and got them into the film. That's the first time the United States citizens had a chance to see the horrors of George Bush, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, and all the other people, Donald Rumsfeld's war, all based upon lies, Colin Powell's war, all based upon lies, Condoleezza Rice, they were all involved. And yet, has any one of those people been challenged in a trial? Not. No. No. So we have a two-tiered class system of justice. Those who commit crimes, genocide, those who destabilize democratically elected governments, those people are rewarded. They sit on boards of directors. They're invited to the World Economic Forum. There's wonderful, you know, promotional campaigns for them. There's unlimited amounts of money. What about their victims of Obama and Hillary and Bill Clinton and all the rest? They're invisible because they're not the same class. This is not about race. You got it wrong, people. There are racists, but we are not a racist country. But now we're led to believe that we are, and a whole group of people just by being born are, because being born Caucasian throughout all of history, every Caucasian ever born was a racist, is a racist, will become a racist. How demented is that thinking? It's about class. Where do you stand in the pecking order of royalty? How do you become royalty? How do you become nobility? How do you become the mercantile class that historically was not suffering the slings and arrows of the average citizen? And today it's the same. Take two people, a working class mechanic and a top billionaire, and charge them with the same crime and see which one wins. That's what we're facing and refuse to acknowledge it. And so it is. I remember that night, Michael came over to me at the end, and he said, man, he said, this made my stomach sick. I said, it was meant to. It was meant to show reality that we're not willing to acknowledge the consequences of our actions, but we use a euphemism. Here's pure Orwell. We're going to free a country, liberate it, to give it democracy. Look at it now. Who controls Iraq today? Do you know? Iran controls Iraq. Iran controls the militias. Iran controls the government. Iran controls the corruption. Iran controls everything. And it has. Since Mukhtar went there, spent years to become the leading voice in Iraq. So, do we care about the mess we made? Not at all. Are there any investigations from 60 Minutes, 2020, going to Iraq showing what happened to the average citizen? Not at all, and there won't be. Nor will there be anything similar when it comes to COVID. I'm just giving you these examples. I'm just trying to show you the larger picture. Also, do you remember years ago I wrote an article? 50 years ago, half a century ago, I wrote an article on fluoride called The Fluoride Fiasco. I'm still updating it. And yet we still have the majority of the media think it's a joke. You know, those who think that it will. What was the movie? Let's see who's good in this audience. Call us if you know the answer. Fluoride in the water pollutes our essential body fluids. Who said that? What was the movie? They joked about it. They still joke about it. They don't even talk about it. Here's the latest from Derek Bross. Quote, the United States government releases censored documents detailing fluoride's impact upon childhood IQ. United States government has been forced to release a controversial draft review that confirms previous studies which found exposure to fluoride at high levels can reduce IQ in children. The U.S. National Toxicological Program has released a long-delayed controversial review of science behind claims that fluoride reduces IQ in children. Turns out they were right. All along, we've been right. So what about the people in this audience that have not used fluoridated toothpaste, fluoride mouthwash, or fluoride in the drinking water? You've been on the right side of that. Think of the people in this audience who did not get vaccinated, instead started to build their immune system and had as a backup a house supply of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Now it's shown you were on the right side. When they were saying there are no studies, on seven different occasions, we presented you with over 400 peer-reviewed studies. We were right, they were wrong. And yet we're still listening to those who were wrong. Ralph Nader, quote, reckless capitalist banks rescued by government socialism again. Ralph Nader, you know, the guy who wasn't smart enough, good enough, wasn't pliable enough, wasn't compromisable enough to be the good Democrat. So the Democrats trashed him, tried to destroy his reputation. But what did he do? Clearly, he didn't do anything that significant, except, let's see, outside of Rachel Carson, who founded the environmental movement in America. And I helped her help ban, along with others, help ban DDT, but they didn't have a radio show, and I did. So I was constantly bringing on the scientists, showing the dangers, DDT. And she is a legend and deserves it. But it was Ralph Nader who created the entire environmental movement in the United States. And from that, over 230 major pieces of legislation that protects us, that helps us, that protects the environment. And yet, with all the sacrificing he did, with being right on every issue that he wasn't good enough to be our president. We need someone who's corruptible. We need someone who's compromisable. We need someone who's got a price tag on everything. We need someone who will have a suit when they wear it. Just like NASCAR, you'll see all the sponsors that own a piece of that person. And that's what we've done ever since. But Ralph Nader, you couldn't buy him. So he wasn't good enough. Just imagine for a moment, we've never elected someone since clear back in FDR and Eisenhower who wasn't totally, totally controlled. And then they put in the people around this person to make the policies serve their interest. Here's what Ralph Nader says, quote, "Once again, government socialism," by the way, ultimately backed by taxpayers. And what he's saying is, we have a schizophrenic system in our country. We want a free market, says Sean Hannity, the warmonger he is. God, I don't know how anybody can watch him. First, he doesn't know how to do an interview. He asks a question, then he answers it. So everything is rhetorical. He gives 5 minutes to three guests to combine to get like 30 seconds each. Then why have him on? Why not just, you know, do everything yourself, Sean? Are these just your echo chamber? In any case, I don't watch him, needless to say. But here what we have, we want a free market. Okay. And if you're going to succeed, you deserve the profits. You took the chance, reward yourself. If you fail, then you fail. It's your loss. Okay, let's say, Sean, and all the other neoliberalists, let's say you're right. Let's say that. Then why didn't you fire every single person in corporate America whose companies were going broke and they took bonuses and got bailed out by the Fed? First with George Bush with $700 billion, but then later Obama up to $23 trillion. Did the average taxpayer get a penny? No. Did the average small business person get any penny or help? No. The people who caused the problem, who crashed the market, who made bad investments, all got protected. Well, how in the world is that capitalism? That's socialism. So if you want to promote socialism, Sean, do so. But you have a strange... You just got a warp. You're dumb. I can't tell you what I think of these people. But if my dog got in a lobotomy, be smarter than these people. They are dumb as bricks. So either you have a system that if you get all the rewards, fine, but if you fail, go out of business, lose your charter. None of them go out of business. None of them lose their charter. And we have to pay for all their losses, and they keep all the rewards. We get none of the rewards, only their losses. That's our system today. How fair is that? That's a class system. So here's what he says, quote, "The ultimately backed by us, the taxpayers, is saving reckless middle-sized banks and their depositors, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank." By the way, there's 40 more banks ready for bankruptcy as of today. They'll be absorbed by larger banks. But it's the larger banks that the biggest problem exists. Why is that? This is not Ralph Nader now. But that's pretty much what he said. He says, "Permitting such imprudent risk-taking flows directly from Trump, GOP, congressional weakening of regulations 2018, which was supported by dozens of Democrats, led by Bank Today Senator Mark Warner, Democrat. Passage by the Senate. The other culprit is the Federal Reserve. Its very fast interest rate hikes reduce the asset value of those two banks holding in long-term treasury bonds, which reduce their capital reserves. With what me worry, snooze, the California Democrat Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, SVB, had little supervision from state regulatory examiners and compliance enforcers. They got 100% bailed out, including the billionaires. They got all their money bailed out, not just $250,000. Everything they did was wrong. They should have allowed these banks to fold. They should never, when something is failing, let it fail. if it's a major corporation. That's a fair market. That's what you get if you're stupid or reckless, irresponsible, or you make bad choices. You should suffer the losses, not a person that benefits not at all from your company, but now has to pay for your mess. Our entire financial system, our entire capitalist system is a fraud and has been for decades. And yet we go along with somehow we're okay, we're not okay. On tomorrow's show, you'll hear how unokay we are, because I'm going to take you into great, great detail that you haven't heard before. I'm going to show you exactly how many Americans are out of work who should be working, and yet those statistics are never given to you because it would scare the hell out of you if you knew that over 28% of the American population are unemployed, not 3.3%. And our real inflationary rate is over 16%, not some percentage in the somewhere between 5.5 and 6.5%. It fluctuates. And that we shouldn't have inflation and wouldn't have inflation if we didn't have massive spending that goes not to the average person, not to decarbonize the country, not for quality education, not to help charter schools where your kid could actually get a real education without being victimized on the way to school or brainwashed in school. Charter schools are the future. Homeschooling is the future. And the homeschoolers are joining together because their school teachers went in the homeschool system, and now they're setting up regular classrooms to give homeschoolers the best education imaginable. That's the future. The public educational system as I see it today is dead. And I'm saying that as a public educator at the college and university level for 45 straight years. I have experience. I've been in the classroom, taught thousands of students over thousands of hours. I know how corrupt the current educational system is at every level. It's unredeemable. It's irreversible. So we have to create a different system. But thank you, Ralph Nader, for speaking up. I voted for you twice. I would vote for you again today. But then again, I voted for the people who I knew would not get elected because the people who were voting weren't smart enough or caring enough or wise enough to understand that they were voting for people who did not give a damn about them. You did. And others, Rocky Anderson did, Jill Stein did, Marianne Williamson did. But that's the problem of being ethical, spiritual, and humanistic, and caring. Something our system doesn't have today, with rare exception. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. So we've talked on several issues today about how we make a mess in Iraq, and it's still there today, and no one cares. So we should care. We should go into Iraq and do everything we can to get rid of all the depleted uranium dirt, and that we can put filters that can get down to the micron level. We should do everything humanly possible to save the next generation because we've done nothing with the last generation. Also from Dr. Carolyn Hendler, quote, post-COVID vaccine heart-related deaths sharply increase, especially in young males. And this is from Cedars-Sinai research. Quote, a 30% increase in deaths from heart attacks in adults 25 to 44 during the first 2 years of the COVID pandemic vaccine program. So the vaccines are killing an awful lot of people. Any discussion on it? Nope. Because then you would have blame. You'd have responsibility. And we know that no one's going to take that blame. And also the National Health Institute in Great Britain, its director confirms, quote, hospitals lied about cause of death to create the illusion of COVID pandemic. This is from the expose, March 20th. Quote, before COVID, four types of pneumonia added together were the highest cause of death in the United Kingdom. In a newly implemented medical examiner system to certify deaths, the medical examiner was certifying all types of pneumonia deaths as COVID deaths. A former director of End of Life Care has said. On Saturday, Sayi A former National Health Services Director of End-of-Life Care wrote a Twitter thread, which, amongst other things, gave a personal account of the changes to the system reporting deaths implemented in the National Health Services. Quote, when four different diseases are grouped together and now being called COVID-19, you inevitably see COVID-19 with a huge death rate. The mainstream media was reporting on this huge increase in COVID-19 deaths due to the medical examiner system being in place. Patients being admitted and dying with very common conditions such as old age, myocardial infarctions, heart attacks, end-stage kidney failure, hemorrhages, stroke, COPD and cancer were all now being certified as COVID deaths, according to the medical examiner system. Wow. So, Great Britain and your corrupt government and your worthless prime minister, you've been lied to about everything. These people should be brought to trial for crimes against humanity and hopefully spend the rest of their life in prison. Same in the United States, but that won't happen to either, unfortunately. That's just the way it is in our system today. They'll get away with it unless we say something otherwise. We're coming up to the end of our program, and I just want to mention that I'm going to continue sharing insights into multiple different issues. For example, tomorrow there's a student talking to a woke school board. And as Rodney, who watched this with me this morning, said, quote, I am speechless. He's exposing everything. Neil Oliver, tomorrow, on many are speculating that a final and catastrophic crash is coming for the banks. I would agree and disagree, but I'll explain my position tomorrow. I'll do a whole half hour or longer, whatever it takes, to give you my input, for whatever it's worth, on what system of corruption we're in, how much debt we have individually, and why our current system is completely bankrupt and will be overtaken by the BRICS nations. And you're going to see a collapse in the dollar by probably up to 30% when the competing system of currency exchange between Russia and Brazil and India and South America and China. And now they have dozens of countries wanting to join them, dozens, including Saudi Arabia. That means that they will have the world's majority of the population and the world's majority of commerce and trade on their side. And that means they're going to be using their currency, which is backed by gold. How much gold? I'm going to tell you how many thousands of ounces China and Russia have and why they can back their commodities. We have nothing. We are fiat currency. So let's just see how this plays out. I'm just going to give you a heads up. What you do with it is your business. And also, isn't consistency of the law what it should be? So no matter how rich or poor, powerful or not, the poorest person, the richest person should be treated equally in the eyes of the law? They're not. I'll deal with this on tomorrow's program. I also, the Irish, I'm going to share a different celebration. Tomorrow I'm going to share an Irish member of Parliament and an Irish member of the European Union speaking out in a way that you have not heard before on any media in the United States. Zero media. I got the clips. I'll play them for you. Tonight, Dr. Meryl Nass is going to be my guest on the Progressive Commentary Hour, and we're going to take on some really important issues that have not been dealt with before. So you won't want to miss tonight, Meryl Nass on the Progressive Commentary Hour. That's our show for today. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day. Stay tuned. Coming at you right now is going to be, or in a minute, will be Utrecht's lead.